Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
We have another hour to spend with David Hatcher Childress, author of Yeti, Sasquatch, and Hairy Giants. Our co-hosts are Chris O'Brien and Nick Redfern. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the Paracast. And I guess the question was raised here, the government knowing about this, involved in genetic engineering of Bigfoot?
Yeah, it sounds incredible. And I had to speculate about that in my book.
David, didn't Hitler try to, wasn't there some sort of genetics program where they were going to try to create this primitive super warrior, super soldier or something? I seem to remember reading about that some years back. You think the U.S. government, if potentially they do have genetic material that they could possibly be attempting to clone these animals or somehow
create. You know, I seem to recall, and maybe you guys know this story too, but isn't there, seems like there's some UFO abduction type story where one of the people claimed that he was in some, like, UFO base or something, that there was a, like, a Bigfoot in a cage or something like that?
No, I think you're referring to the Clearview case outside of the Air Force Academy back in the late 70s, where Air Force officers arrived in a saucer and talked to this particular rancher and his family, and there was a Bigfoot standing nearby holding a box that had blinking lights on it. And
this
creature had been seen by the rancher on a couple of occasions prior to this, and the Air Force claimed that he was under their control, and one of the officers had some device on a belt, and he hit a button or a switch, and the Bigfoot kind of twitched and fell down and dropped the box, and then he clicked it back on, and the Bigfoot woke up or something and stood back up holding the blinking box. So I go figure. That's one of the weirdest cases.
Right. That's a pretty interesting story. And so there you have maybe some Bigfoot that's got implanted by the military, and yeah, they can kind of mind control him with some electronic gear that they've got, you know, in the back of his brain or something. I mean, stories like that seem like some grade B sci-fi movie from the 50s or something, but yet I...
Why would they say something like that, though? Why would they...
And for people to just somehow make up some utterly bizarre story like that, that also apparently makes no sense, that's kind of far-fetched, too, that people are just going to fabricate that. I often think that there's something to these stories. Not necessarily exactly what the people witnessed, maybe, but something's going on. Even with stories like that, you can have holographic projections. I believe that the military does do all kinds of unusual psyops and mind control type of operations for their own, strange experiments on people just to see how they'll react and things like that. But I really do not discount the idea that they, I'm saying the military or, I mean, whoever it is exactly, that they could have, you know, the bodies of Bigfoot, actual live Bigfoot, cloned or genetically engineered Bigfoot. If these animals really exist, and I believe they do, and they are animals, there's no reason why the military couldn't have, you know, be doing research on them themselves. I mean, they want to know this stuff, too. And it's my opinion that many of the things that you guys talk about on the Paracast are within the military and other covert agencies, you know, that even this stuff is well known to them. But they largely keep it a secret.
Okay, so if the U.S. government is doing this, what about other governments? Are they engaged in this kind of trickery?
Well, yeah. I mean, they would be, in a sense, particularly, say, the Russians. The Chinese government is well known to be interested in the wild men of China. The Russians, in fact, many of the Russian investigators, I mean, they're actually part of the government who are doing this, and they're Russian scientists. So the Russians particularly have always had an open mind when it comes to paranormal type things, Bigfoot, UFOs, even psychic phenomenon. And even though this, say the CIA has done psychic experiments and other things like that, they're, when stories get out into the mainstream media, they sort of laugh at it, and it makes the CIA look like a bunch of goofballs doing these sort of strange experiments. But in Russia, it's taken much more seriously and is actually part of the government programs. The whole strange story of the Minnesota Iceman, which I detail in one of the chapters, is really weird. And the more you look into it, the stranger it gets. And at one point, apparently, the Vietnamese government was involved in it, and the military. And the story that has come out about the Minnesota Iceman is that it was from Vietnam, and it was loaded onto a helicopter. It was brought back by the military to the United States. It was in California. It ended up in private hands. It was encased in ice. It was then sent up to Minnesota, where for basically about a year, it was shown at these various county fairs and things in Minnesota and Wisconsin, and then suddenly vanished. But Ivan T. Sanderson and Bernard Hovelmans, you know, had a chance to really look carefully at the Minnesota Iceman at this barn in Minnesota before it vanished, and they concluded that it was a real critter in there and not a fake.
Okay, vanished, David, in what way? They just stopped showing it, or what?
Yeah, what happened to the Minnesota Iceman was it was being exhibited for a while. Ivan T. Sanderson and Hovelmans got to see it and study it. And then the FBI got involved because it had been shot through the eye. And, I mean, and in fact, apparently, it had been shot by an American soldier or something during in Vietnam War. And but then it vanished. And what happened then was a fake was put in its place. And then briefly, this other Iceman was exhibited. People who looked at it could see that it was a fake. It was like a wax dummy inside the ice. But the original Iceman totally disappeared. And it apparently had been owned by a very wealthy person in Los Angeles. But, you know, exactly who he was and how he got the Iceman, where it went, we don't know. And it's possible that the government itself ended up with the Iceman. And if it really was a real body, as Sanderson and Hovelmans believed, then it would be valuable. And certainly the government would want it and perhaps got it, or else it ended up in some like private lab where they're studying it. And part of it, what is so important and rarely talked about in other Bigfoot books, is that having DNA of a Sasquatch is important. I mean, you could do a lot with that, particularly with the technology of cloning and stuff that we have today.
It'd be something to be able to try to nail down. So how do we nail it down, David? I mean, we have the story of this disappeared and was replaced by a fake before the exhibit was withdrawn. We have all these reports about the government involvement. How do we nail it down and prove any of this stuff?
Well, make a good FOIA request.
I think people naturally want proof and good proof, and I'm like that too. Photographs of Bigfoot are good, and that's kind of the main thing we have now. And stories, getting actual hair and blood samples of some of these critters, whether it's in Bhutan or Sumatra or California or whatever. I mean, that's what we need. When you look at Roger Patterson's famous Bluff Creek movie footage, and that is perhaps, you know, the best known evidence, really, of Bigfoot that we have. And that's a female, too, who's walking there. And that's been studied over and over again. There's whole books just about that movie footage.
And I'll tell you, we'll get into that in more detail in a moment. We have David Hatcher Childress, author of Yeti, Sasquatch, and Hairy Giants, the co-host to Chris O'Brien and Nick Redfern. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
The Paracast.
The Paracast.
Hey, Hey, neighbors, have you been thinking about starting a website? Well, I'm going to tell you about a great offer from HostGator. HostGator is a world-famous leader in web hosting, and they make it easy for you to get your own .com domain name. You create your very own website with their free site builder tools and great selection of templates. Use the coupon code PowerCast. Once again, use the coupon code PowerCast and sign up at this special address, thepowercast.com/gator. That's G-A-T-O-R, thepowercast.com/gator. For 58 years, Fate has provided true reports of the strange and unknown. Fate brings you the latest in all aspects of the paranormal, like angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, and much, much more. To receive your complimentary Fate magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit their website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30% while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should too. Find out what they know. Call us and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Men, when you want the spark back in your love life, when you want to bring back intimacy, when you want to please the special woman in your life, use Mojo Rizin. Mojo Rizin is a safe, revolutionary herbal sexual formula for men that combines ancient Chinese school of thought and modern science to significantly support stamina, performance, and pleasure. Mojo Rizin is a proven 100% natural product that works the first time, every time. Mojo Rizin works even after consuming alcohol. Mojo Rizin will not give you unwanted side effects. Mojo Rizin will allow you to give your partner what they deserve. Try just 3 capsules of Mojo Rizin, and if not completely satisfied, send back the remainder for a full refund. Buy Mojo Rizin at mojo-radio.com. That's mojo-radio.com. Or call toll-free 1-877-330-1120. That's 877-330-1120. Go big, go strong with Mojo Rizin all night long.
Where have all the military surplus stores gone? Don't worry, you don't need one. Because everything you need at Military Surplus is at MainMilitary.com. That's M-A-I-N-E, Military.com. One of the last surviving true military surplus stores in the country. Go online now to MainMilitary.com and discover a source for hard-to-find surplus items at true surplus prices. Surplus gun cleaning kits as low as $2.99. Complete chemical suits as low as $11.99. See our huge selection of gas masks, filters, and accessories. Finish M10 gas masks are $3 for $30, and Swiss filters are $3 for $12. Searching for strike anywhere matches? MainMilitary.com has them, plus a whole new product line of survival and first aid kits and lots more. Get free shipping on orders over $50 only at MainMilitary.com. That's M-A-I-N-E, Military.com. Or call 877-608-0179, 877-608-0179. MainMilitary.com, the main name in military supply.
Tired of searching for great talk radio?
And I think it really does make a difference.
We are the GCN Radio Network.
Genesis.
We want to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com. Get in on all the action at forum.theparacast.com.
We return with David Hatcher Childress. We're talking about the Abominable Snowman, Yeti, Sasquatch, Hairy Giants, whatever. We have Chris O'Brien and Nick Redfern as co-hosts I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the PowerCast. So maybe now, because we are getting towards the last three segments of the show, Chris, you've accumulated some questions from the PowerCast forums. You asked one of them, and maybe we could pepper David with more questions from the forums. Go ahead, please.
Well, actually, David's actually done a good job answering several of the questions. The only one I haven't really asked and impressed David on was the whole telepathic connection that some witnesses have described when they lock eyes with these creatures. I think, what's his name, Kawani, Jack Separtis, he wrote a book, The Psychic Sasquatch. I'm probably butchering his name. But I seem to remember reading the book years ago. I seem to remember from it that there, in his mind, that there is a fairly intriguing body of evidence that would suggest that these creatures do have some sort of psychic abilities and that some people have been impacted by this. Have you run across this particular element in your research?
Yeah, sure. And in fact, there's a woman in Wisconsin who's written a book or two about Bigfoot. And I think one of them's called Backyard Bigfoot or something like that. And she claims to have had something of a psychic relationship with this Bigfoot who in the winter would come by her remote house in the woods of Wisconsin and leave footprints, and that she had, you know, something of a psychic relationship with them. And that's all fine. I feel that people have psychic relationships with all kinds of animals, and that's always fascinating. There's no reason why people couldn't have some psychic connection with Bigfoot, too. Bigfoot, in my mind, he's curious about humans, and he's not really a threat. Even though there are stories of Bigfoot attacking people, even people being killed by Bigfoot. In the Himalayas, I can tell you that the whole concept of Yetis, seeing a Yeti, having some encounter, it's a subject that's very uncomfortable to the people there. They don't want to see a Yeti. They feel it's terrible luck. Even to talk about Yetis is bad luck. People are reluctant to really discuss it in great detail. It's a subject that you should avoid, really. And if you've seen a Yeti and encountered one, they believe it means you're going to die. So you it's not something you want to have happen to you. You know, that said, people do still encounter Yetis as we get more and more sort of people are modernized and they forget these, say, superstitions in a sense about Yetis, and they will talk about it more, I think. But really, ultimately, I mean, what I've concluded is that they're animals. They have, they're super strong. They've got incredibly keen, senses. They know to avoid people if they can, but still, they're curious about people. And a lot of the stories that are in my book are of Yeti and Bigfoot peeping Toms. I mean, this is what happened here in Arizona and, where, you know, where I'm speaking right now on the White Mountain Apache Reservation in 2005. This family there, they were Apache Indians. They called the police because this peeping Tom was looking in their window and watching them in their bedroom and stuff. And then when the Apache police arrived at these people's cabin, and people do live in remote areas of the forest there, and it's a giant forest, what the police, and it was a woman who saw it, when she arrived, there was this Bigfoot that was there at these people's cabin, and this Bigfoot was skulking around. He was this peeping Tom looking in their window. And the police woman saw him right there in the headlights. And she filed a report. This got on in the news here in Arizona. It became even national news. And the witnesses in this case were this Apache family, but also this police woman. But also, like in the DuPont Monster case in Illinois, what brought the Bigfoot into the vicinity where people having these close encounters was ultimately sex. And Bigfoot, you know, people were having sex in their cars or in the White Mountain thing in their bedroom, and Bigfoot wanted to see, you know, what he was missing or what was going on.
So not only his hair is kinky then, huh? I couldn't resist.
So I don't know. Well, I mean, I'd be interested to hear what you think about this, Nick. I mean, so many of the British with Fortean times and things like that, and the mystery black cats of England and stuff like that. I mean, do you think that Bigfoot has got the ability to sort of appear and disappear at will?
You know, I mean, I've done a lot of research into Bigfoot reports in Britain, and what it often surprises people to learn that there's actually a tremendous number of reports. Now, if you go back to the 1400s, they're very much described as like wild men of the woods type stories, in the sense that they look, I won't say they look like human beings, but they look more like a hair-covered human than they do a giant ape. Now, if you sort of go forward to the present day, we actually do get a lot of reports that would fit into like a classic Bigfoot category for Britain. Now, bear in mind, Britain, the whole country of England, Scotland and Wales, is actually, the combined square mileage is smaller than the state of Texas, and yet the population is a full 20% of the entire American population. So in other words, for a small country, Britain's heavily populated. And one of the problems with Bigfoot in Britain is you could argue that it's seen too frequently. And for creatures that are described as being sort of 7 foot tall in the British Isles, we would have to see colonies of these creatures, but we only ever see them solitary. And we don't see evidence of what would have to be massive feeding activity to sustain a 7 foot tall, 300-400 pound creature on a daily basis. And that's one of the problems in Britain. And we also get a lot of reports of Bigfoot just vanishing from sight in Britain, or haunting places like old bridges, crossroads, which is something you typically see in countless paranormal type stories. So, you know, whereas I think there's a good argument for saying things like the Yeti and the Orang Pendek of Sumatra are flesh and blood animals, I'm less inclined to think that's the case in Britain. I think Bigfoot in Britain is not just weird. Bigfoot in Britain is like too weird.
Well, I agree with you there that, Bigfoot in Britain seems to be quite an anomaly. And I've heard, you know, there are some stories of Bigfoot. There's kind of one area, where is that, where people sort of see it? But I, in my mind, there's not really, you know, some large amount of stories of Bigfoot in the UK. That would be surprising to me.
Yeah, I mean, I actually wrote a book on this called Man Monkey, which was a study of a famous case in central England, which the reports kicked off in the late 1800s and continue to this day at this one particular bridge on which runs over a canal, a large bridge that runs over a canal in England. There have been countless sightings there of this weird creature with glowing silvery eyes, and it has more of like a paranormal phantom aspect to it than it does anything flesh and blood.
I'll tell you what, we'll get into more of that, Nick, in our next section. We have David Hatcher Childress. His book is called Yeti, Sasquatch and Hairy Giants. The co-hosts are Chris O'Brien and Nicholas Redfern. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Yes.
Is there a secret UFO agenda? Do strange creatures from the darkest corners of the mind roam the earth? Is there evidence for mind control, time travel, or devious government conspiracies? Find out the inside scoop on the latest conspiracies, paranormal activity, and Fortean phenomena when you subscribe to Tim Beckley's Conspiracy Journal. It's jam-packed with stories, special book and DVD promotions, and the best news, it's absolutely free, sent right to your mailbox. Plus, a bonus free email newsletter sent out every Friday. Simply send an email with your name and address to MrUFO@webtv.net. That's MrUFO@webtv.net. Find out what they don't want you to know.
When you hear the words water purification, what comes to mind? If it's Berkey Water Purification Systems, this message is for you. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water contains fluoride at less than 2 cents per gallon? Berkey water filters purify treated and untreated water, remove dangerous chlorine, fluoride, and contaminants from municipal water. These filters are powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water, making them perfect for rainwater collection systems. From the smallest to the largest systems, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has what you need. With your system purchase, you'll receive a shower filter, a fluoride filter, or 2-sport Berkey bottles absolutely free. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com would like to offer GCN listeners 5% off all ceramic filter systems and ship all orders over $50 free of charge. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY today.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours, too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection action so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved, guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
There are many types of storable foods, but how about a superfood that contains every nutrient that the human body needs for survival? 50% protein, 300 milligrams of potassium per ounce, and calcium and magnesium for your heart and bones, with many more nutrients found in this incredible food source that the government does not want you to have. This product is available in powder, seeds, and oil, and is shipped free to your door in the U.S. This product is illegal to grow in the U.S., but is legal to import. Don't waste time thinking about storing food. Plan ahead and prepare for yourself and your family now, and be in control of your destiny. You can save and invest your money, but in the end, food will be your greatest asset. Remember what the Word of God says in Ezekiel 7:19. Call 908-691-2608 and see what the powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Remember, food will be your greatest asset. Call 908-691-2608. This product does not contain THC. Call 908-691-2608 today.
Bringing you the best in alternative talk radio for over 10 years. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
This is the Paracast. You never know what's going to happen next.
Ladies and gentlemen, I will not comment on the rather lame effort of our co-hosts in the previous section to vocalize the Paracast, because if I were to do it, it would be worse. And we're not going to ask David. By the way, David, that's a new thing with guests now. You have to vocalize on the air.
Yeah. You got to sing, David.
Let me try it. Paracast!
There you go.
All right, we'll record that and sell it and keep the profits. David Hatcher Childress is author of Yetis, Sasquatch, and Hairy Giants. The co-hosts are Chris O'Brien and Nicholas Redfern. I'm Gene Steinberger in the Paracast. Since we got into that touchy subject of paranormal Bigfoot, so that takes us back to this other kind of creature, the Mothman. Is the Mothman some kind of winged Bigfoot, David?
You know, that's interesting. And one of the old issues of our magazine, which is called World Explorer, one of the articles was about Bat Squatch, which was out of outside of Washington State, a kind of Mothman type story of a winged Bigfoot kind of guy who had, say, the Mothman characteristics as well as that of Bigfoot.
And he had pointed ears, too.
Yeah, pointed ears and things. Bat Squatch is what the newspapers, you know, called him.
Well, you know, if he has pointed ears, he's actually Spock Squatch.
Yeah, Spock Watch. Yeah, that's right. The whole concept of flying humanoids and winged people, Mothmen, people, you know, humanoids flying giant bats, for that matter. I mean, that was a fascinating subject, and one that deserves its own book. With stuff like that, that is pretty paranormal, I would say. And so once you do cross the line from, you know, gorillas and orangutans and hairy ape men in Sumatra or the Himalayas or even the United United States. Yeah, when you get these flying critters, Mothman type of stuff, yeah, you're really looking, I think, at something that is totally paranormal. And it's interesting to think with Mothman, too. He's often said to be this harbinger of death, like a Yeti. And what I was just talking about earlier, how in the Himalayas it's very, very bad luck to see a Yeti, and it means you're going to die. And that's kind of the same thing with Mothman, too, that, yeah, you see Mothman and something bad's going to happen to you kind of thing. So, and a lot of people think that with other things, black cats, you know, crossing your path, maybe something strange peering in your window at night, and, yeah, it's a bad omen, shall we say.
Nick, what is your point of view about all this? You were briefly telling us about that particular case with the creature with the glowing eyes in the UK.
My personal opinion, having sort of investigated all these weird creatures over the years, I think two things are going on. One, I think some of them are definitely flesh and blood animals that science hasn't recognized or categorized yet. But I think others are paranormal. But of course, that depends how we define what the paranormal might be. You know, is it something truly supernatural, or is it an aspect of science that we don't necessarily fully understand yet and that we call it paranormal because that's the only way we can describe it. But I think what does happen sometimes is that there's a tendency when we're investigating strange creatures that for many researchers, it's an either-or thing. You know, you're either classed as the researcher who believes either paranormal or you're the nuts and bolts flesh and blood guy. And I think that's a mistake, I mean, sort of a fatal mistake. In reality, I think, as I said, there's several things going on. And just because Bigfoot, you know, or the Yeti in the Himalayas appears to be a very definite flesh and blood animal, and I would say that again for the orang pendek in Sumatra, the fact that we also get paranormal qualities for some cases, I don't think destroys the scenario or the other scenario. What I actually suspect it does is suggest to us that there's several things going on, and as researchers, we should treat them as separate things, not try and force feed them, if you like, into one category and leave out the bits of the stories that we don't like or whatever, which some researchers unfortunately do.
Isn't that, of course, part of the problem in trying to nail this down, which is, of course, one of the difficult things, and certainly people who are skeptical about the possibility of a Bigfoot or this hairy creature, whether it's paranormal or physical or there's a combination of both, is performing the kinds of investigations we need to take it out of anecdotal evidence and bring it into mainstream science. So whoever wants to pick up this, okay, how do we get mainstream science to take any of this seriously?
I don't know. Someone's got to get a 30-06 and bring one down, I think, and have the whole post-mortem process documented. One thing I would suggest to people who are thinking about going out and renting a gorilla costume and running around the woods where they know there's trail cams, I would be very careful. I'll bet you there's some good old boys out there that would just love to bring one down just to kind of get their 15 minutes of fame and probably a lot of money for this. I think David brought up a really good point about trail cams and the proliferation of cell cams. Obviously, the handy cam recorders have come down in price. I think we're going to see more and more visual evidence of these things and hopefully real good quality evidence that would give enough data, I think, for an optical examination by science to determine, obviously, if it's a hoax or real, and if it is real, start the process of determining what we're dealing with here scientifically. I know a lot of people on the forum absolutely don't buy into the whole concept of crypto creatures such as Bigfoot running around. I think David brought up a really good point about the proliferation, or whatever that word is. Everybody's got a cell cam. Yeah, everybody's got a cell cam now. The handy cams have come way down in price. I think we're going to see more and more visual evidence. This obviously would be a place for science to get involved, to analyze some of these videos, determine if they're real, and if they are real, what we're dealing with. Obviously, you know, bringing one down, finding the remains of one, having physical evidence would be the holy grail in this scenario. But I think that's where it's got to start. It's almost like you have to prove that something is, you have to disprove a negative in order to get science involved, just like in UFOs, just like in hauntings, and other subjects that science tends to hold its nose around. But that would be, I think, the most logical place where this whole thing is going scientifically.
Well, I agree with you there that, what I predict is going to happen is there's going to be more and more and more photos of Bigfoot, video footage of Bigfoot. YouTube is going to have more and more quickie videos of Bigfoot. Some of these videos are fascinating. Some are just jokes or hoaxes. But we're going to see more and more of that. And it's because cameras are ubiquitous. And the same thing's kind of happening with UFOs, too. More and more people are carrying cameras and video footage, and therefore we'll get more good footage, daylight footage and stuff, of UFOs. The idea that we're going to actually get a live Bigfoot on TV or something like that, and that some press conference is going to occur like last year, which was a total hoax, but where someone says, yeah, here's the dead Bigfoot, you know, we've got it. Hopefully something like that will happen one day. It's kind of sad, and this is a controversial part of the whole Bigfoot stories, is it okay to go out and shoot a Bigfoot? Is that murder? There's already people who are campaigning against that. Bigfoot needs to be saved. We shouldn't have people running around with guns looking for Bigfoot. And even, that would be a strange sort of thing that might happen in the future, where suddenly Bigfoot is a protected animal and the government has to declare him, as protected. No one is allowed to shoot Bigfoot. Something like that. That right there would be tantamount to the government admitting that, yeah, these creatures are out there. And I think that's a big step for them. And it's what I've kind of gathered talking to people and the encounters that they claim they've had with rangers and stuff, where rangers have basically acknowledged to them that, yes, we know these animals are out there. Yes, you know, we want to leave them be. Please don't go, hunting Bigfoot during hunting season or something like that. And I think it is hunters who do encounter Bigfoot. And a number of stories are people have weapons with them, and they actually could shoot and kill a Bigfoot. But when the time comes, they can't do it.
I'll tell you, whether it's be nice to Bigfoot or whatever, we'll get to that in the next section. David Hatcher Childress, author of Yeti, Sasquatch, and Hairy Giants. The co-hosts Nick Redfern and Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberger in
the Paracast.
Are you ready to order the official Paracast t-shirt? You asked, we answered. We're now taking orders for the official Paracast t-shirt. It comes in white, 100% cotton. The front of it features the same logo that we have on our community forums. On the back it says, Separating Signal from Noise. To order the official Paracast t-shirt, here's all you have to do. Visit our new online store at store.theparacast.com. One more time, that's store.theparacast.com. You can use a major credit card to place your order for the official Paracast t-shirt. Hey neighbors, we have one more thing to talk about, and that's more merchandise at the official Paracast store. We have hats, we have jackets, we even have a flip video camcorder customized with the Paracast logo at the official Paracast store. It's all now available at the official Paracast store, store.theparacast.com.
If you're a regular listener of this station, then disaster survival is vitally important to you and your family. Long-term food storage, water filtration, emergency food preparation, and quality survival products are not just talk topics, but a way of life. We strongly believe in being prepared for any emergency. We are foodandwaterstore.com, owned and operated by people who are into emergency preparedness. And because we are preppers like you, we own and use the products we offer. You'll find quality name brand proven products like Global Sun Ovens, Wonder Mill Flour Mills, Mountain House Foods, Satchel and Berkey water filters, and many more, plus videos and articles at foodandwaterstore.com. 90% of our customers are return customers because of our low prices and excellent customer service. We still believe the customer is always right. Discover what your family needs to weather any storm at foodandwaterstore.com or call 1-877-773-7123. Foodandwaterstore.com, helping you prepare for the storms of life.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 5 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include three Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping, an $87 value, yours free. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Global meltdowns, massive unemployment, endless wars, a new currency crisis, financially and morally bankrupt. A great and terrible storm is approaching. So what's the best way to get ready, to get prepared for hard times ahead? Introducing Off the Grid News, a weekly newsletter for independent patriots who want practical advice on how to survive and prosper in an increasingly dangerous world. It's the best way to get a black belt in emergency preparedness, survival skills, and off-the-grid living. Off the Grid News is fiercely independent, all about self-reliance and packed with helpful information on survival gardening, food preparation, alternative energy, herbal medicines, privacy and security, as well as God, gold, and guns, with absolutely no apologies. And the best part, this $100 a year service is now free of charge for our listeners. That's right, free for our listeners who sign up at offthegridnews.com. That's offthegridnews.com. You can sign up free at offthegridnews.com. offthegridnews.com.
Tired of searching for great talk radio?
Search no more.
It's good stuff.
We are the GCN Radio Network.
You've entered another dimension. You've entered the Paracast.
Hey there, if you want to join the PowerCast team as a sales or marketing specialist, send your resume to sales@thepowercast.com. That's sales@thepowercast.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I think in a future segment of the PowerCast, we'll have one episode where everybody says the PowerCast and you will vote for the winner.
The best.
This is not the episode. We have David Hatcher Childress for one more session. Yeti, Sasquatch, and Hairy Giants is the book. Co-host to Chris O'Brien, Nick Redfern. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the PowerCast. Okay, so do we regard, therefore, David, as these creatures as being endangered species? Is that a reason why maybe forest rangers, etc., would say, you know, don't go there because they want to protect this? What's the story?
Right. I mean, I've kind of come to the conclusion that within the ranger community, there is something of an unwritten code of not hunting Bigfoot, not disturbing him, leaving him alone, giving him his territory, letting him, you know, do his thing. And the idea that Bigfoot hunters are out there with guns trying to kill Bigfoot, they don't like that idea. It really does come down to this crux of the matter. Is Bigfoot some type of humanoid? Is he really more human than animal, or, you know, is shooting a Bigfoot, you know, the same as shooting a chimpanzee or some other ape? And part of the problem here is that Bigfoot is very human. He is like a missing link, really. And it's interesting too that except for the Gigantopithecus fossils that have been found in China, they know that this giant ape did live once, and perhaps he is the Yeti and the Almas of Mongolia. But yeah, where is that missing link fossil? Well, one of the things is, and we were talking about this earlier, about why don't people just find Bigfoot dead on the trail or something? And it's the same reason why you don't see a dead bear on the trail while you're hiking. And things don't become fossils. If a bear suddenly dies of old age in the woods, he's not going to become a fossil. If you shoot a deer and just leave him in the woods, he won't become a fossil either. So the idea that Bigfoot is out there and that he is some kind of missing link that between humans and the apes. Yeah, I mean, he can be there without us really finding a fossil record necessarily, because fossils are largely created through cataclysms and anomalies. Things, whether they're dinosaurs or whatever, they have to be buried under tons of gravel and ash and in an airless environment, and then they create fossils. That's not what happens to most animals when they die.
Is there possibly, because they are more intelligent creatures, a Bigfoot burial ground? I'm not being silly. This is a question.
Yeah, no, right. Exactly. And I mean, that's it. They are intelligent that way, and they are partly human, I believe, in the sense that they do things like a human. They have sort of families. They would maybe bury the dead and have some. I don't think there's some big Bigfoot burial ground in the, you know, up in Washington that all the Bigfoot go to, but when within their tribe, as you might call it, yeah, they would bury the dead if something happened. Even have their own weird Bigfoot funeral, you know, I don't know. But yeah, they in those ways they would act more like humans rather than just complete animals. They really are partly human. They have intelligence. They want to know. They're very curious. And from what I've gathered with Bigfoot stories, Bigfoot wants to know what we're doing. He's afraid of us. He doesn't want to really come into the cities and stuff. He knows that that's not his place. But people who live in remote forested areas, yeah, it's quite possible that they'll be visited by Bigfoot, and Bigfoot's curious about them. He wants to know what they're doing.
I know this is kind of like a hypothetical question, but, you know, as we've touched on this angle about these creatures potentially being semi-human or part-human, what do you think the legal ramifications would be if these creatures were found to be related to us? I mean, could it potentially stop logging, you know, the huge logging companies, because we're actually talking about the habitat of a type of human being that we'd be cutting down? It'd be the same as, you know, chopping down somebody's backyard, in theory, if they had a legal right as a type of human. I mean, do you think the legal issues might have a bearing upon the fact that nobody in the official world wants to deal with them?
You know, Nick, I think that's exactly it. As I've researched this and talked to people, I've more or less come to that conclusion that, yeah, the officials, they don't want Bigfoot to be recognized, really, because it will create more problems than they want to deal with, which is exactly what you're saying. They'll have to create literally, you know, protection areas for Bigfoot, and we'll have to declare them some kind of protected species. It would stop logging. Even Bigfoot rights groups spring up, and they would, you know, they're campaigning for Bigfoot, just like they do other animals and things. And there's just a giant can of worms that the authorities just don't want to open up. Something else they would be afraid of, I think, is if they were to acknowledge that certain areas had Bigfoot in it. I mean, that would, because of the popularity of paranormal stuff and these TV shows of monster hunters and everything, suddenly, yeah, every crazy young buck with a gun, you know, wants to defend on some, you know, wilderness area or some swamp in Arkansas or something. And stuff like this has already happened. And, yeah, they're out to capture Bigfoot and shoot it.
Let's go get ourselves a Bigfoot.
Yeah, I mean, and actually with the what they call the Boggy Creek monster, or it's actually known as the Folk monster in Arkansas, that's what happened. I mean, they made a couple of movies about this too. But in those stories, Bigfoot actually went to this remote cabin and was trying to get at this teenage girl who ran screaming. I mean, So, but later, what happened was, and that area was famous for these Bigfoot and swamp apes, that, yeah, hunting parties, you know, went into those swamps. They were out to shoot the Boggy Creek monster kind of thing. And, of course, the police and the rangers, they don't want that. And you get a bunch of, you know, crazy monster hunters who are armed running around just like in hunting season. It's dangerous. People are shooting at each other. They're trigger happy. The rangers do not want this.
Take a tranquilizer gun with a heavy duty dose of some sort of, you know, super powerful sedative or tranquilizer. Go out and trank one.
Hey, I tell you, we're just about out of time, but I like the idea of the tranquilizer or maybe a taser, although tasers can sometimes be fatal. David Hatcher Childress, take maybe 45 seconds or so and tell us about this book.
Well, Yeti, Sasquatch, and Hairy Giants, it's my latest book. It's only been out a few months. It's got a color photo section in it of all the latest Bigfoot photos. That's relatively impressive. Nick said he liked it. And what I've tried to do in this book is give a pretty round explanation of Bigfoot all over the world, the best evidence I could find, and bring people up to speed with the last 10 years of all the fascinating Bigfoot sightings that have happened.
Nick Redfern, where do we find more of the things that you do?
At nickredfern.com, an easy one.
Chris O'Brien, less easy, where do we find more of your stuff?
OurStrangePlanet.com and at the Paracast.
As a matter of fact, Chris is one of our forum moderators. So if you check at forum.theparacast.com, Chris hangs out there. You'll find more of the things he does. Being a moderator also, if you're a bad boy or girl, he'll do something about it. David Hatcher, Childress, Chris O'Brien, Nick Redfern, thank you all for joining us this week on the Paracast.
Thanks, guys. Hey, thank you.
Yeah, thanks, David. Thanks, Gene and Nick. Great show.
The Paracast is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in the Paracast.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you own an Apple iPhone and love to listen to your favorite programs on GCN, I've got good news for you. I'm proud to announce that GCN has a brand new iPhone app available for our dedicated listeners at GCNlive.com. Listen to your favorite hard-hitting GCN programs live or on demand right on your iPhone. And the best part? The GCN iPhone app can be yours absolutely free. Download the iPhone app today by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.